All right, folks, with the download button on the Brandon LaPanty Show. So, folks, a lot of stuff going on. We haven't really been doing too many podcasts lately, for this show anyway. I've been on the road a lot and all that, and I was kind of struggling with the hosting a little bit. I was kind of messing around with things, and I'm like, what was kind of getting to me was I record an episode on my laptop or on my podcast or on my my phone, and then I was like self-hosting, so I'd have to copy the file over and post it up and all that. And it just really wasn't I'd have just files sitting around, shows I did that I never posted, shows that I did, and then they were time sensitive, I never got them up and all that. So a friend of mine, I do a lot of recording on the road, so he had told me about a program for my iPhone and getting a microphone, then you can actually record the show and post it right up on SoundCloud. So that's what we've seen we're going to do. I'm going to see if I can hopefully finally get this show back on track with doing a weekly show. We'll see what happens. It'd be nice to do the show every single week, so we'll see what happens. So a lot of stuff really, really going on as far as the news goes, stuff I've been wanting to talk about but didn't want to talk about it. So a lot of stuff going on. Obviously, you all know that Donald Trump won the elections. A lot of controversy going on about that right now. Talking about how the elections rigged, and then there was all that controversy with him, and then he ended up winning anyway. And now you have all these Hillary protesters and everybody protesting the election and all that. Really, just kind of out of control right now with this whole thing. I mean, I understand people want her to win. It would have been history, first woman president, right after the first black president. But now it looks like we're going to have Donald Trump, and people just really not happy about it. A lot of people annoyed, a lot of people mad. It's just the protests are supposed to be peaceful protesting. Things, fights end up breaking out and all that. It's just not a good situation right now. I'm kind of holding off judgment on anything he does. Everybody always has empty promises with their campaigns. All of them do, no matter who you are. But I'm kind of trying to hold off judgment on him right now until we really see what's going on. I'm not going to lie. I was, if you guys listen to my old shows, I was a pro-Trump guy. He did say some stuff I didn't like. But she, with this whole Benghazi thing and the emails and all that, I don't know. I just don't trust her at all. So I've kind of always been a pro-Trump guy, but I don't know. I want to see what he does first. I mean, I'm not gonna lie. I may in a year from now be doing the show, and I may say, "Hey, I hate him. He's the worst thing to ever happen to this country." I don't know. It really depends first on what he does. So let's see what he does, and we'll go from there. So, like I said, I'm trying to hold off on passing any type of judgment until we actually get him into office and sworn in, and see what's going on. So we will. We'll see what happens as, time rolls on here. Obviously, he won't be sworn in, I believe, till January. So we have a little time yet until he's sworn in. Obviously, then Obama, kind of the weight of the world lifted off his shoulders. He came into a big mess with Bush and, the whole controversy with Bush and Florida and all that. There was a lot that went on with that. I wasn't too thrilled with. I'm not a diehard Republican, but there was a lot of things I didn't particularly care about with the Bush administration. I think Obama, I'm not going to say he did a great job, but he didn't do a horrible job either, to a certain degree, with a lot of the stuff he did. He did come in, walk into a mess of a nightmare with this country, and but he also did a lot of, he also had an agenda too, which they all do, so. But like I said, we will wait to pass judgment on him on Trump anyway, until he gets in and we actually see what he starts doing. So we'll see what happens, with that. So other things going on with the news, not only, I mean, obviously election, I hate to say this, I'm kind of all politics out. I hate to say that, but you know, there's been so much going on. I mean, the election, I mean, I think this year is the worst year we've ever had for it. But we've had previous years, there's been a lot going on with the elections, but this year seems to be like the worst of it. Just, you know, the amount of media attention that both people got, the amount of media attention that everybody's been putting on them. And I think it's just been a really tough thing for everybody. I think we're all kind of all sick of the elections at this point, just sick of politics in general. So a lot, like I said, other things going on in the news. Obviously, we're getting up to Christmas time now. So a lot of gadgets, a lot of things for sale. Everybody, pretty soon we'll be into the holiday season where everybody will be just shoving stuff down our throats to buy. You know it's coming. It's just a matter of time, you know what everybody's going to buy. This time of year is always tons of stuff, Black Friday, Cyber Monday. You know, we all get to the point where we just start buying and, you know, maxing out our credit cards, you know. That's just, you know, holiday season, it's coming up. And we'll all be stressed for Christmas. We'll all be stressed about this, stressed about that. So we'll see, you know, a lot of stuff for sale right now. Obviously, Microsoft releasing a new line of their tablets. Obviously, the iPhone 7 with no headphone jack. That's been a huge thing that a lot of people have been talking about. Obviously, the new MacBook came out after a couple of years of no new Apple stuff. The new MacBook came out. And now it's all, you know, everything is, you know, I'm really surprised. You know, Apple's not doing touchscreen or anything like that because they don't want to. They want to save the touchscreen for the phone, the iPads and all that. But they came out with the new laptop, which got a lot of controversy about it. It's kind of like being behind the other, you know, the Windows machines of that. Just so much stuff going on, like I said, with tech news and all that coming out. I've been kicking around actually getting an Xbox lately. And a lot of people tell me to get the PlayStation, but I remember the whole PlayStation outage network problem. I know they got that all straightened out, but that's something I was really kicking around was getting an Xbox this past just Christmas. I don't know. I'm not a huge gamer. I don't get a lot of time to game. I do some gaming on my PC, like Minecraft and stuff like that, but I don't get a ton of time to game. So I'm one of those people that I want an Xbox, but I really don't know. But I wouldn't use it. I don't know if it's worth spending the money because I don't know if I would ever, you know, spend the time and kind of get the value out of it that the purchase would warrant. You know, I'm definitely not cheap, but I don't really hate to buy something that I'm never going to use. So, you know, it's one of those things that, you know, I really want it, but I don't know if I can, you know, warrant, you know, spending the money for it. You know, and then too, I'm looking at, I was looking at some other stuff as well that I was thinking about buying over the holiday season. You know, I was thinking about those Bluetooth earbuds that Apple was putting. I thought those might be something really cool to take, get and try out. But I don't know. You know, I'm not, like I said, I don't know if I'd really see. The problem is whatever you buy, whether it be the watch or it be the earbuds and all, it's just another thing I got to freaking charge every night. And that's my other problem. You know, when you go into somebody's hotels or that when you're traveling and, you know, they give you like one plug. So then you got to buy one of those hub things and all that. It just becomes a real pain in the butt. So I'm not sure about that, but you know, like I said, you know, it's one of those things where it's like, do I want to? Don't I want to? You know, you kick it around. So some of the other things, I guess I don't know all news, but I guess one of the things I thought was funny was Bill Burr the other day was on Conan O'Brien, and he was talking about the World Series and all that, and how he got really annoyed with people that were, you know, the fans of the World Series and all that, and I have to tell you, I think some of the hardest core baseball fans are New Yorkers with the Yankees and all that. But one thing I do have to say, man, is when I went to New York for that Subway Series years and years ago, man, New York fans are some of the most hardcore fans ever as far as sports goes and all that. Let me tell you, when I was down there, I mean, it was like, you know, I have to tell you, that when I was at the Subway Series, if a ball came into the stands, I was not, no matter how close it was to me, I was not chasing after it. I mean, there are people just, they go nuts over that sports memorabilia and all that kind of stuff. I don't, and people go nuts. I mean, they just knock people over, throw people over, punch people. You know, people get really violent over stuff like that. So I'm not really into sports and stuff, but I know, like, it just... you know, people talk about the Cubs fans and all that and all the winning the World Series and all that, but it was just, you know, it was if you think that fans are bad, Cub fans, you should try New York fans. And I can say that too because, like I said, I used to live right outside of New York, so I know. I used to commute to the city and all that back in the heyday, but, you know. So one of the other things that was interesting is somebody had sent me an email last time I did one of these shows, which was a little while ago, and I was just talking to them. By the way, folks, one thing I do have to say is using SoundCloud, though, it's pretty neat. It's like falling off a log pretty easy. So I really enjoyed the social sharing piece and how people can comment and all that kind of stuff. It's kind of neat. But they sent me a message asking me where do I get my news from? And that's a really good question. And I'll tell you what, because what I find interesting about that is when you read like the New York Post, like depending on what newspaper or what news source you get it from, it depends on which way the news is slanted. You know, like Fox News. You know, I really like Fox News. I've kind of CNN. When the funny thing about CNN is when Ted Turner bought them or owned them. You know, he wanted it to be a very biased news source, cover both sides. But over the last like 10 years or so, that hasn't been the case anymore. They're very democratic. But one of the things I like Fox News. I do watch Fox News a lot. I do watch. You know, I watch a lot. I have to read the New York Post every day, obviously, and all that. So I do follow a lot of I try to get a couple different news sources. Like I try to read the Huffington Post. And that, you know, right after I read the post, so I can get kind of different views of different stories to kind of decide where I'm going with it. Because I hate to get news just from one source, but what was really weird on election night, especially, was how every single channel had different numbers. They all had different numbers. And I don't know if they were all getting their updates from different places or what, but they all had different numbers. So it was really weird how, as you flip into their channels, you could see, you know, one place she was up, one place he was up, and then you go back, and a little while later, their numbers were different places. It was just really weird how they all report on the same numbers. Because that's something that, you know, can only really be reported one way. So that was kind of interesting. But I do, like I said, I do read the Post every day. I read the New York Post every day. I do try to read the Huffington Post. I don't really read the New York Times, really, because I haven't really liked the way the paper's been doing lately. I do look, though. I do follow the you know, their bestsellers list, because I do like to read a lot of books. So I do look on there to see what, you know, what their bestseller is and stuff like that, what their movie recommendations are. They're good for stuff like that, but news lately, I just don't think that they're not what they were years ago. So I don't really read them. I don't really read the New York Post. And there's so many places out there to get news anymore that it's really hard to say, hey, yeah, you know, this is one, you know, this is a news source, that's a news source. I know a lot of people listen to talk radio, listen to AM radio, stuff like that. That's something that's really has changed over the years, too, is the whole radio industry. You know, Sirius XM is pretty much like radio now. I mean, I know there's a lot of AM radio and stuff like that, and there's some FM out there, but almost all the AM radio stations now are all talk channels. And shortwave, you know, starting to make a comeback now, too. I know a lot of guys that listen to shortwave and all that, and talk radio. But the problem is, a lot of the news is very liberal. And, you know, if you're somebody that doesn't like liberal media, it's tough for you to find a news source. But as far as, like, music radio goes, I don't know really anybody that listens to FM radio anymore for music. I mean, I think Sirius has become radio. And I remember when Sirius first came out, that was like radio jail for everybody. I remember when a lot of people are going there because they couldn't go on FM radio, guys like Opie and Anthony, a couple other guys that went on there too, that they really couldn't, you know. And now you have legends like, you know, Cousin Brucey, guys like, you know, Mr. You know, Imus, obviously Stern went there, pretty much is the reason why Sirius won, because he came. But, you know, my whole thing is, and this is something people have talked about too, is, you know, Stern has that diehard audience, but you know, Stern never left. You know, he pretty much built Sirius. And, you know, every time he would build a company and leave, you know, K-Rock and all that, once he left, the stations would go under. It'd be interesting to see in, you know, 4 or 5 years from now when he actually decides to leave Sirius, what's going to happen to them, because it'd be interesting, because he's, every place he's ever gone, he really has pretty much made the station. So I'd be curious to see what's going to happen to Sirius if he leaves. I know Sirius has said that subscriptions are up. I think a lot of that is because people like the music service. But there's so many music services out there nowadays. I know a lot of people that have it in the car, they like it in the car. Even young people, really like it in the car. But I don't, you know, with the iPhone and all that being the way it is, I know that's really nibbled at Sirius's business. If you remember when Sirius really first came out, there was no, there wasn't an iPhone yet. The iPod was starting to chip away at things, but that was still a long way off. But, so I'd be curious to see what happens, you know. And, you know, now podcasting and all that is, and YouTube and all that, that's their own, like, media nowadays, you know. And that was, I think, part of the problem with the whole Hillary campaign was she ran from a top-down campaign, a lot of emphasis on TV ads, a lot of emphasis on that. And he spent, like, half of what she spent in his campaign. But, you know, he spent a lot of time doing social media and stuff, just like Obama did. And I think that's going to be... You know, I think as the politicians get, you know, the older politicians, you know, retire and the younger ones come in, I think you're going to see less and less money spent on these big, massive TV spots and more money spent on social media. And I think that's what Facebook and Twitter, well, we don't know what's going to happen to Twitter. Twitter's been up for sale now for a while, but I think you're going to see Facebook and Twitter and stuff like that really go ahead. And, you know, they're going to be the ones that are going to be making the big money, not the television station. So Twitter, I thought, was an interesting story, too, because they were saying that Disney was looking to buy Twitter. There is just no way that Disney is going to buy Twitter. Disney cannot be associated with anything like that. They cannot be associated with Twitter tends to be pretty rough, okay? Disney buying Twitter would be like Disney buying Reddit, okay? It's just not going to happen. There's too much riffraff on there that Disney can't be associated with. Disney's worked very hard to keep a clean image over the years, and they're not going to be associated with something like that. They're just not going to do it. I know they're not. I thought Google or Oracle would buy them, or even Microsoft, but it doesn't look like anybody really wants them. I do see the power of Twitter, but I'm kind of curious to see. I'm on Twitter. A lot of people follow me on Twitter and all that, but I don't see... You know, I'm kind of shocked to see that I don't see many... I just don't... I'm surprised. I really thought Twitter would have been bought by now, and I guess not. You know, it's kind of interesting that Twitter hasn't really... I thought somebody would chew them up rather quickly, and I guess nobody has. So they know they're still up for sale, but it doesn't seem like anybody want them. LinkedIn obviously got bought up by Microsoft, so, and Minecraft too as well. So, you know, Microsoft has pretty deep pockets, but they don't seem to want it. So curious to see what they do. Microsoft's been trying to get into the social networking business. I think LinkedIn was a good purchase for them, but we'll see what happens as time progresses with Microsoft and all that. I love watching the NFL and them throwing those Microsoft Surface tablets around. That's been great, man. I love that. I'm not really a sports fan. I don't really watch sports that much at all, but it is fun to watch people at the games, the players, the coaches, just chucking around these tablets and just yelling and screaming and slamming them around and all that. I think it's been... It's a lot of fun to watch. It's entertaining. I'm not a sports fan, but I do enjoy watching that part of sports. Microsoft spent like, what, $400 million to be the exclusive tablet of the NFL. And NFL made a ton of money on that. And I just think it's funny how everybody hates them in the NFL. It's so funny. One thing I do think is interesting is that the DirecTV... they get I think one or two exclusive games a year only on DirecTV. I have to wonder like who at DirecTV like said, okay, let's get some exclusive games up our numbers, which is a good move by them, I agree. You know, DirecTV is one of the very few. They've integrated a lot with tech, obviously with the AT&T, I don't know, purchase or a merger, but with AT&T and all that, they really keep tech and all that in you know, they're doing a really great job with it. I know a lot of people, younger people like me, are getting DirecTV just because of how well it integrates with the phone and how I can set my DVR for my phone and all that. You know, DirecTV really is doing it right with AT&T. But what I think is interesting about all this is not only are they, you know, is DirecTV, you know, doing that, but they're also somebody, DirecTV's got some pretty deep pockets to be able to go out and say, hey, guess what? You know, we're going to pay you, NFL, you know, this, I'm sure it was mega money to have an exclusive game only on DirecTV to bump our subscriber numbers up. I mean, somebody at the NFL got freaking rich on that deal because, I mean, you're talking some major cash had to exchange hands or something like that to happen. I mean, that was just unreal. So, you know, I was kind of, I was like, what the heck? I remember, like, reading it, and I'm like, oh, my God. Like, you know how much money you're talking? I mean, you're talking big money right there that had to have happened, you know, for, you know, I was astonished by that. I was like, the amount of money that had to have gone into that purchase was, like, whew, more money than I'll ever see. So, some other stuff talking about DirecTV and AT&T and all that, we've kind of all been bombarded with the, like I said, with election stuff and all that. But I thought it was interesting is the how much emphasis to, in the midst of everything going on with the elections and Trump and all that, in the midst of all that, the Angelina Jolie and Brad Pitt, you know, breakup, whatever you want to call it, divorce, whatever. How much media attention that got, how they were, like, the number one trending. Now, I know they were, like, the Hollywood couple that everybody loved to follow. And I know Jennifer Aniston, you know, kind of had to sneak her two cents in there. But I think it's funny how, you know, how in despite of all the media attention that everything's been getting with the, you know, with the elections, how the Brad and Angelina news just kind of keeps creeping up and then becomes like the number one trending thing on the internet. And I laugh about that because, like, you know, there's like, okay, you know, nothing's going on. Nobody's talking about it. And then boom, Brad and Angelina Jolie, like, and then all of a sudden, like it dominates, like everybody starts talking about it on the news and all that. It's like, I don't know if it's happening because the news wants to cover something else besides the election. But I think it too, the star power, obviously, I believe he's in his 50s. He's been doing this since his early 20s. Obviously, she's, you know, the little woman with like 10 kids, you know, and all that. So it's one of those kinds of things. But I think it's incredibly, you know, interesting for the most part that those two can, you know, and I thought it was funny that Jennifer Aniston kept kind of throwing her hat in the mix. I thought that was pretty funny that, you know, she kept, you know, kind of, you know, poking and prodding since, you know, obviously Brad left her for Angelina and now that. So he's kind of, you know, he's one of those kind of people. What's her name is, what's his name was like that too, Ben Affleck. He was in a high profile relationship and with, obviously J-Lo, you know, and then he was with, Jennifer Gardner and all that. So he's somebody that has high profile, relationships. And he's somebody that seems to make the news whenever something happens in his love life. It's amazing, obviously, you know, just like the Kardashians, you know, they stay in the limelight. You know, every time a Kardashian gets pregnant, it's like major ratings on the show, too. They were talking about the other day. Every time one of them, you know, gets pregnant and shoots out a kid, it seems to the ratings go through the roof for that show. Now, I think another one, I think one of the brothers now, his wife had a baby or something like that. I barely caught it the other day on the news, so... but you know that, and there's somebody too. Like I was reading about that too. Like, if you want to talk about star power, I think Kim Kardashian gets like 20 or 30 grand for every tweet she does. So like, say you're like Avon and you want her to endorse you on Twitter or Facebook and send out a message saying, "Hey, I just used this Avon product and I loved it. Check it out." I think she gets like 30 or 40 grand just for one tweet. A lot of them get, I think it's the Kardashians are the one that really pioneered that whole thing, but I know there are other celebrities that get it as well. I forget I think Jay-Z gets it. I know Beyonce is one of them that gets paid to tweet. There are a lot of them, but they're the ones that I heard really pioneered it and really turned it into a business. I mean, and when you look at the Kardashians, not only is the show making them a ton of money, they've got their hands into games now. They've got their hands into fashion. And the funny thing is, too, all these young kids and adults, older women, they all idolize them and they all buy it. And hey, good for them, man. If they can get people to buy their stuff just by putting their name on it, good for them. Hey, I got no problem with people making money. But I mean, it's amazing the amount of attention they get and the amount of product they're able to sell because of it. It really is kind of neat when you look at it from a business and marketing perspective. Obviously, I'm a little bit into marketing and stuff of that, so I know all about that stuff. But it's pretty amazing. Speaking of a marketing standpoint, let me tell you, my wife and I just got back. My wife and my daughter and I all just got back from vacation. Not maybe about 2 weeks ago. And what was kind of interesting is we went to Disney. And let me tell you, it wasn't about marketing. Disney just has that whole thing down there wrapped up. Let me tell you. When you go down to Disney, from the minute you get there to the minute you leave, you just get like bombarded with buy this, buy this, buy this. Go to this show. You know, food here. This, that. You know, I mean, they have got the. I mean, Disney has figured. I mean, it's not cheap, and Disney has figured out like the whole strategy of okay. From the minute people get here to the minute they leave, we're just going to constantly bombard them with stuff to buy or constantly bombard them with, everything we can to get them to spend money. I found it rather interesting. And the other thing neat was that magic band. From the minute you get off the plane, there are people saying, okay, do you have your magic bands on? Put them on because you're going to be using them now. And from the minute you get off the plane to the minute you leave the hotel, you're using that magic band. And they're tracking, I mean, every freaking thing you do with that magic band. And that's like the key to the kingdom when you're there. I mean, it gets you everywhere you want to go, gets you on your fast. You can use it for your fast pass. You use it for... all that stuff. It actually is really, really cool. We had a great time down there, and it's really interesting to, like I said, to see how Disney has everything going. I actually stood in line for a couple of pictures. I wanted to get kind of a little geeky, but I do like Toy Story, and so I just stood in line to get a picture of Buzz Lightyear. I spent a lot of time at Epcot when I was down there. I spent some time on a picture with Aladdin and Jasmine, so that was a lot of fun. I enjoyed that. There was a lot of things we did down at Disney that I really enjoyed. It really is a lot of fun for the adults. If you haven't been there, you know, I know it's expensive, but take once in your life, spend the money and go down there. So it really is definitely a good freaking time. I had a good time with it. I liked it. While I was down there, like I said, there were the one thing I noticed down at Disney, you know, when I was down the shore in New Jersey, and when I was down over the summer, my wife and I decided to take a little trip down to the shore, up where we live in the Pennsylvanias, Pennsylvania in the Northeast, and a lot of places. I saw a lot of Trump stuff. When you go to Disney, one thing that's kind of neat, you don't really see very much political stuff. Like I said, when I was on the boardwalk in New Jersey, when my wife and I went to vacation up here in Pennsylvania, because we live in Pennsylvania, we started to take a little weekend trip somewhere. You're constantly bombarded with Trump stuff. But when you go to Florida, you don't see any political stuff at all. I did not see one thing for Trump. I did not see one thing for Hillary the whole time I was at Disney. I didn't even see people walking around with those shirts on. I think just Disney is the kind of place where people just don't feel like dealing with it. They're on vacation and they don't want a political argument or get nasty looks. So people either don't wear them or people just don't care. So... but like I said, I didn't notice anything like that. So while I was down there, so it's good and cool for Disney. You know, it really keeps people lets people kind of relax while they're there and all that. It was a lot of fun. Like I said, I spent a lot of time at Epcot. I actually went and bought the Epcot model and all that, and I did a lot of stuff. I had a fun time while I was there. While I was down there, definitely one thing, I had a lot of time to wait, so I definitely dipped into my music service. One thing I do want to say, I actually have a Spotify subscription, but the one thing I was looking at while I was down there messing around, I got the trial for SoundCloud Go, which I'm the reason SoundCloud for hosting. And I'm not being paid at all. I should be getting paid. I'm not getting paid at all for any type of advertisements or any of that, but I was playing around SoundCloud Go a little bit. I don't think it's as good as Spotify, But I do think that there definitely is a lot of artists on there that I like. I'm more like the rock music and the early grunge stuff. And I found all that stuff on there. I was listening to that on SoundCloud Go. And then I also found some other stuff I really liked as well on there. So I really don't have any complaints. I like SoundCloud Go. I'm not going to lie. I think Spotify is better, especially for discovery. I noticed that a lot of stuff, too, with SoundCloud Go, like if you go ahead and you listen to a lot of rock music, you'll start getting some of the indie people, some of their rock music kind of thrown at you to listen to, which I'm okay with, because I would hope that people that are listening to SoundCloud, listening to podcasts, would kind of get maybe our show thrown at them a little bit. So I think, like I said, I think there's a value to that. And I really, you know, I think as being somebody who's on SoundCloud podcasts and that, I would hope that they would do that so that people like me can kind of, you know, I mean, not say nibble away at the bottom, but, you know, kind of, you know, maybe help us try to grab some audience or grab some listeners, even with the music. You know, if I'm listening to Alter Bridge or if I'm listening to Metallica or something, or Fuel or something like that, you know, why not throw some indie artists in there that maybe are, you know, paying money to post their music up on SoundCloud, throw them in there so they can get some audience share. So, you know, I think that was really cool, but the Discovery Priest is really good with SoundCloud, but I do find that there was, I think Spotify has more to offer with the bigger names, but I do think that SoundCloud has more to offer with the indie artists and stuff like that. And I think I like the way SoundCloud does it, where you get a lot of, you know, you get the big names, but they also throw in the smaller names in there to kind of help us out. So I thought that was really neat. I never really had messed with SoundCloud Go before. So I really enjoyed messing around with that while we were down there. I also listened to some audio books. I like to listen to audio books a little bit. I also listened to, I should get Audible as a sponsor. They'd be a good sponsor too. I listened to a couple Stephen King books while I was down there. We were down there for almost 2 weeks because we haven't really taken vacation in a while, but, we're down there. So I got to listen to Stephen King books and all that. I was actually listening to The Shining, which I've never actually seen I've never actually seen the movie. I've watched it now. Now that I read the book, I'll watch the movie. But what's kind of interesting, while I was down there, I was actually looking at some of Stephen King's books, like The Stand and stuff like that. I mean, some of those books are like 60 hours of listening, which is way more than I'm willing to dedicate to any book. But like I said, if you're into Stephen King, they do have, Audible does have pretty good offerings, you know, for those of you that are really into listening to audiobooks. They really have some really cool offerings. That I thought was really a good price. I've been listening to them for a while now, but I never really was a Stephen King guy. I just started listening to him recently. Like I said, I did The Shining. Now I'm listening to Mike Conley because I've listened to everything he's ever done. And by the way, folks, if you at all like any type of cop shows and you have Amazon Prime, check out Bosch. The first season is good, but the second season is better. And check out Bosch. Actually, it's a really good cop show. It's pretty violent, pretty gritty, but I think if you enjoy cop shows, you definitely will like it. It gives me that very, I don't want to say CSI kind of feeling. It gives me more of like it's more about the cops than it is about the science part of it. But overall, I thought it was really good. Check that out. I've read almost everything by Michael Conley, and a lot of times when books go to series, I don't really care for them. But this was actually really good, so I checked it out. It was I liked the whole series. On Netflix, I've really liked too much of the original content on Netflix lately. I'm not gonna lie. I mean, I could probably live on my Amazon Prime right now. I know my daughter would kill me because she loves all the kids stuff, because there's a lot more stuff for kids on Netflix than there is on Amazon Prime. But I'm not really digging all the Prime stuff, all the Netflix stuff lately. You know, the original series was great for Jessica Jones, Daredevil. I really liked both seasons of that. Stranger, my wife really likes the whole Stranger show that's on there. I like House of Cards because it's very political, so I do like that. I like Hemlock Grove, and that was on. But a lot of the Netflix original stuff lately, last 6 months or so, besides Jessica Jones, Luke Cage, I've been watching it, but I'm not really into it. I'm not saying it's not a good show, because I am into the Marvel stuff, but it's definitely not a great show. It's good, but I wouldn't say it's great. But I've been messing around watching that a little bit. That's actually really, it's good, but it's not great. The Jessica Jones was amazing. Both seasons I found of Daredevil were amazing. But like I said, I'm curious to see what they're going to do with Iron Fist now and some of those other shows that are going to be on Netflix shortly. I'm curious to see what they're about. So I'll be curious to see. I'll keep my eyes out for that. One of the things I'm curious to see is they're saying that Netflix now is messing around with live. I'm curious to see what Netflix is going to do with Netflix Live. I'm curious to see what their plans are for that. And I remember when YouTube started with the YouTube Live stuff years ago, they started out with concerts and things like that. Like I said, I'm very curious to see what Netflix is going to do and, you know, with the live stuff. They have never done anything live. The one thing they do, the one thing I do like that they do, that a lot of other places don't, Amazon's doing it as well, but Hulu doesn't. But what Netflix does and what Amazon does is they give you everything at once. Like, oh, here's the series, and here's all 13 episodes. There you go. You don't have to wait till next week to watch another episode. You can watch it all tonight if you wanted to. So I like the way they do that. I don't particularly care for the way that Hulu does it, that they give you one episode a week. I know they do that to stretch out your stuff. If you get a show you like, they can stretch your subscription out. But I don't think that's really right now. Again, Hulu is mostly aimed towards TV. So they don't, you know, I think that's just their business model and it works well for them. But I like how Netflix and Amazon give you everything at once. One thing Amazon does is it gives you a lot of the shows from overseas, like Orphan Black and stuff like that, that Netflix and some of the others don't. And I've really been digging all that lately. Orphan Black, I think she just won an Academy Award for that show. That's actually a really, really good show. If you haven't checked it out, check it out. It actually is really good. My wife got me into it recently, and I've actually been really digging it. That's really a great show. And I'm trying to think. Also, too, Amazon seems to get some better movies on there, too. They have 007 on there, a bunch of other stuff that Netflix just doesn't get. So. Well, like I said, I think I'm gonna wrap it up. Like I said, you can catch all of my old shows on my SoundCloud account, soundcloud.com/Brandon LaPaney Show. Like I said, right now we are on iTunes, so you can listen to us on iTunes. I'm gonna try to get us up on Google and Stitcher maybe, and a couple of other places as well. So I am working on that. I am working on the whole hosting thing. We are working on it. So just bear with me as I kind of get this whole hosting thing kind of ironed out. So I want to thank everybody for listening, and we will see you again soon. Like I said, we should be posting. I'm going to try to do a weekly show if we can. So like I said, keep your eyes open, and we will see you next time. Thank you.